Show into the second hour, rising up, waking up, rocking and rolling, moving and grooving on the Rule of Law Radio Network, ruleoflawradio.com, also broadcasting 1640 AM in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and 90.1 FM here in the great city of Austin. A couple other micro broadcasters scattered throughout these great United States.
Thank you for listening, Sioux Falls. I've been getting messages from y'all up there, so hello.
We love you.
We love you. Good morning. Rise up.
And right now we're joined by none other than the Vice President of the Continental Congress 2009, also the Chairman of the Florida Constitution Party, and a great friend of Catherine and myself, a wonderful patriot, somebody that I look up to and respect a great deal, Dan Gonzalez. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Pretty good.
We're doing really well, Dan.
We're doing pretty good.
Catherine, it's good to hear your voice, and John, it's good to hear your voice. Brings back many great memories of the battles on the floor of the Continental Congress up there in St. Charles, Illinois.
Wasn't that the most amazing experience?
It's incredible, especially when you go back and review the video, and you remember how we didn't fight, but we debated, heavily debated and caucused and stayed up till all wee hours of the morning and got up early again, you know, slept for an hour, got up and went right back at it again, and I never had so much energy in my life.
Oh, man. I almost collapsed by the end, though. I was so tired. I got emotional, and I was letting people get to me. I was so tired. I think in the last 4 days we were there, I got probably maybe 8 hours of sleep between those last 4 days.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I had experienced exhaustion during grad school, but oh, no. Continental Congress taught me what exhaustion really was. Adrenaline. Good thing, though.
That's good.
Absolutely. A little bit of Red Bull didn't help, or it helped a little bit also, you know, with coffee. I mean, I said to my wife, I never drank so much Red Bull. In fact, I never drank Red Bull before I went there.
Well, you had some wings. We could tell. Okay, Dan, We're going to take these callers real quick for this segment. You feel free to chime in if anything they say piques your interest. And then at the top of the next break, at the other side of the next break, we'll get more into what you're doing down there in Florida. And your entire life story.
Uh-oh.
Right now, we're going to go to Joey from Tennessee. Joey from Tennessee, you're on the air with the Rise Up Radio Show. How are you today?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. Just rocking and rolling, moving and grooving.
Hey, I met Catherine at the Campaign for Liberty conference in Atlanta, and I was really glad to meet her. And, of course, I saw her in Camp FEMA. But I was calling in this morning, if you want to catch up people who just tuned in, could you paraphrase what happened? It was a protest that you guys had planned. He said he wasn't going. And could you kind of describe just real quick what happened again?
Well, I'll describe it from an outsider's perspective because I watched it happen because I was down here. The local activists movement put together a rally.
Texans for Accountable Government and the Ladies of Liberty Austin chapter.
Yes. And by the way, later in the show, we're going to be giving away a Lola calendar. But Ladies of Liberty Alliance and Texas for Accountable Government, they partnered together, and they, at the planning meeting, there were 50 people to plan this event and to decide how to respond to the fact that the ATF and the local city police were strong-arming the leaseholder of the gun show. And, you know, HEB ended up dropping the show, saying we're not comfortable having this on our property.
Okay.
So, 50 people got together and they put together a plan of action. And one of those actions were to hold a rally on Monday night from 5 to 7 p.m. And Alex Jones was sent a press release and he covered it on his show Monday during the show and said he was going to come. And we were all super excited. We wanted to offer him a speaking slot, either the first or the last. And when he showed up, he railroaded the entire thing and said he didn't want to be a part of our stinking event. And we do have him on tape saying he doesn't want to be a part of it.
You guys are new activists. You don't understand freedom.
Okay, yeah, and did I hear him say, I hope this is okay to say on the radio, did I hear him say that you have a hard-on for him?
Yes, he said that I have a hard-on for him. He said that I was a Democrat operative who you know, I mean, just all kinds of crazy accusations and really mean, disgusting things. He called Robert Butler a homosexual because he was wearing a light pink shirt. We have that on videotape. That's not uploaded yet, but I will get it up. I promise. Right. We're just backlogged.
And let's be clear, it wouldn't have been a problem if he showed up and interrupted us and went and did his thing for 10 or 20 minutes. That's no big deal. It's Alex Jones. He's the big, it's big Alex Jones. You know, we're glad he's here. We're glad he invited out a bunch of people on a show. Right. But no, ladies and gentlemen, he went off for the entire hour and a half of the event at full force, full blast.
Holding a second rally. I have video footage where I literally walk back and forth, and I'm like, here's the rally that the locals are holding. Here's the rally that Alex Jones is holding after he chewed me out and called me names.
Right.
Anything else, Joey?
Has he tried to contact you all and get an apology? The reason I'm really calling and asking, I recently gave him some of my footage from the Campaign for Liberty conference, and we've been corresponding back and forth. So I'm hoping, you know, in the spirit of liberty and cooperation, I can get him to apologize to you guys. Because here's the thing with this whole libertarian movement, activist movement, alternative media movement. I feel that we're all so pragmatic that we can never get any one issue done. And, you know, I hate that, you know, there's so much infighting. If we could come together somehow, some way, and just maybe focus on one or two issues, we could really get things done. Like currently I'm working within the Republican Party in Nashville, Tennessee, trying to educate them about the Federal Reserve.
Always trying, even people that you think are great patriots or whatever, you know, what I've learned in my life is that great patriots can mess up really very badly also. Let's take a look at the Alien and Sedition Act, signed into law by President John Adams, one of the greatest founding fathers we ever had. I mean, he was brilliant, a genius, and he signed the Alien and Sedition Act. Now, when I found that out, I said to myself, how could that happen? How could a man like this sign a document like a law like this, which would imprison people over free speech?
Mm-hmm.
And but see, this is where you know my religious faith comes in, because I know that we cannot put our faith in men, because men will always fail us.
Mm-hmm.
Men are imperfect. You know, I believe that in my religious beliefs that, you know, man is prone to sin. And actually, our founding fathers believed the same thing. That's why they created the Constitution, to chain down the mischief of our public servants. But as we can see, it doesn't work. So how much more, you know, this is all about ego, the ego of man also. Someone always wants to be on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you guys are I'm not going to say that you're too young to have experienced this, because you've experienced it already, and you've probably done more than most 50-year-olds. And up to your age, your present age right now, you guys have done more in your last few years of activism than most people in this country ever did in their entire life. But we see these people around us, and they look good, they smell good, they talk right, but you know, the actions they take speak louder than the words. And it's the actions we have to take a look at. I don't care. You know, that's like a politician, right? We hear the politicians get up there. How many times have we heard politicians get up and say before a crowd of people, I'm going to lower taxes. I'm going to get our government under control. We're for the working man. We're for, you know, average Jane and John Q. public. You know, we're going to help you out, and we're going to do all these wonderful things. And they get into office, and then everything just keeps getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything gotten better in our country, or does it keep getting worse? It keeps getting worse and worse. Are we in less debt today than we were 50 years ago? No. You know, take a look at all the programs the government came up with that said this is going to help you. This is going to fix the problem. Has it ever fixed the problem? No, it hasn't. But yet we continue as Americans to sit here and think that we're going to go into the Republican Party and change a completely corrupt, you know, when you have a rotten apple in a bushel, you don't throw all the good apples out. You go and you throw the rotten apples out. That's what you do.
Amen.
I know I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm getting into a bit of a bit long-winded here, but there's so
it's
much
good.
To say, John.
It's good, Dan. I like it. You're pumping me up.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? We have got to free the chains from our mind, because the battle is for the mind. That's what it's all about. That's why they control all the educational system. The NEA, which was created by, most people don't know this, but by the Rockefeller Foundations. The Rockefellers also control all aspects of politics in America, and they control most of the major corporations. They control most of the academics because of their grants from their foundations. They control everything that goes on in this country and most things that go on around the world, along with a few other rich families that control most of the world. We've got to wake up here. This isn't about some little dipstick Republican running for your state legislator here, because he or she is just going to become another puppet. They can't help it. They get in there, and that's what they become. They can't fight the forces out there. We can, though. You and I, you can't change the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. They've been completely co-opted. It's over, folks. Learn, get off the sinking ship. It's going down. And the reason it's going down is because people like you are out there spreading truth. You know, when we were in St. Charles at the Continental Congress, we fought and debated over what we knew was the truth, to get the truth out, and we did it. And we're just about ready to come out with the Articles of Freedom, and we'll be passing that to this entire world. Mm-hmm. And in those Articles of Freedom are the words of liberty. The very foundation of liberty is outlined in those words. We won't take it anymore. The American people are awake. We're teaching our fellow man, and we're teaching them to be independent thinkers. Not thinkers of the left and right paradigm. Oh, yeah, I'm a liberal. Oh, yeah, I'm a conservative. Uh-uh. That's where they want you. They've trained you since you were a little child, raised in their educational system to think their way. Your brain is a computer, massive computer. My daughter is a neuroscientist.
Okay, hold on, Dan.
And we talk about the brain all the time.
I remember last time the music started playing, he said, what, are we going to dance? We're coming up on a break.
Boy.
Speaking with Dan Gonzalez, Vice President of the Continental Congress. Leonard, we're going to take your call on the other side of this break. We'll be right back, folks. Rise Up Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rise Up Radio Show on the Rule of Law Radio Network, ruleoflawradio.com, broadcasting live and direct in 1640 AM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 90.1 FM in the city of Austin, and also several micro-broadcasters, both AM and FM, scattered throughout these great United States. We're chatting with Dan Gonzalez, Chairman of the Constitution Party Florida, and also the Vice President of the Continental Congress. But right now we have a caller on the line, Leonard from Texas. We want to thank you for patiently waiting, and welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Hey, John. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. It was really good hanging out with you guys on Monday. I found it to be a pretty interesting situation there. I've got some video as well that I want to speak with you guys about, putting up. I'm sure we've got lots of it, but if you wouldn't mind, I wrote a little tag that I would like to put on that, and if I could read that to you real quick, would that be all right?
Go ahead.
All right. Let's see. I listen to Alex almost every day, and I'm glad he's out there because his info is almost always right on. But can we focus on principles before personalities? Texans for Accountable Government, TAG, set up this protest. Props to Chuck Young, John Bush, Katie Brewer, and Catherine Bleich. Alex came in and totally disregarded us, yelling over us while our guest speakers were trying to talk, and insulted us when we were asked for a little consideration. Come on, Alex, aren't we on the same team? Well, are we? At the end of the event, when I saw my friend John B. speaking with Alex, I went over to thank him for showing up out of respect and was informed over a handshake that not only would he not plug our event, but would not be to any of our common events with us. I can't understand why Alex has forgotten that he is in this movement and not the movement itself. I think my favorite quote of the evening was when we were told that we were new activists and didn't understand freedom. I'm a few years older than Alex, and I'm pretty sure I understand freedom, or the lack thereof. I'm sure I will offend some worshipers out there, but I can love the message without loving the messenger. What a shame. And that's my post. But
nicely put.
Thank you.
But, yeah, man, I was really glad to hang out with you guys. And, on the positive side of that, I think, all in all, it was a positive deal. I was, you know, I was one of the guys you asked to come out and try to keep the peace, and, you know, I ended up getting in between some of our guys and their guys. And on the good side of it, you know, I really try to keep my temper out of it. And in doing so, I feel like in speaking to some of these guys that were yelling back at us, I think we might actually have a few more tag members.
Well, you know, I actually had, I've been calling him one of the AJ goons just because of the way he treated me. But, you know, he came up and was like, you will never do as much as Alex has done. You haven't done half the stuff that he's done. Da-da-da-da-da, just chewing me out. And he later came up and apologized. And he said, you know, this is getting kind of juvenile and I'm a little embarrassed. And I'm really sorry that I was so mean to you. But
he didn't realize he was talking to a Liberty superstar, Catherine Blige.
Shut up. You know, thank you for coming out and helping do that. I think it was really important. You know, I had this weird feeling before the event that something was going to go down, and that's why we wanted to make sure that we had some people who were there for the purpose of de-escalating situations. And with all the video cameras and all of the people who were there to try and help de-escalate the situation, I think it went over much more smoothly than it potentially could have, because people did have to be restrained. Emotions were really high. It was a high energy situation. So thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no problem. I mean, I was glad to be there. I don't feel like I ever can do enough, but, you know, I definitely want to hang in there and help out, because this is, you know, this is a cause that's dear to my heart. And, you know, locally, that's the thing that I was talking to a few of these people about, is I say, hey, we're working locally here. If you want to get involved, if you want to do something rather than listen to the radio, go to tagtexas.org and join up and do something here in your backyard, rather than just, you know, going out and
where you have the power.
You know, because there's plenty of opportunities here. We'll put you to work. But don't worry about that.
That's right.
So, but, you know, like I said, I was disappointed. I will say that. You know, I know a little bit about Alex. And, again, I'm glad Alex is out there. I really am. Because, I mean, he reaches worldwide. And he really has, you know, woken up a lot of people, you know, myself included. And I still do listen to the guy. But, I mean, really, you know, I kept chanting over and over, we cannot afford this petty bickering. We don't have the luxury of that kind of crap with the time we have left. Who knows how much time that is? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't have the luxury of it. You know, if we can't stick together, then, you know, it's all coming apart.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, I was glad to be there. John, you know, I don't get to see you enough. And Catherine, it was nice to meet you, a new friend. And, you know, I'm just glad you guys are out there, because, you know, I don't feel like I can do enough, but I will.
Well, we're glad you're here, too.
You do plenty. You're a diehard patriot. You've been in it since the very get-go, and we can always count on you when we need you. You do more than enough, and you're also a great family man, a great father, and we really appreciate having you in the local movement with us.
Well, you guys always just give me a call, and, I'm you know, I can't listen in all the time. Unfortunately, my truck is the only place that I can hear you guys. I can't get you at the home stereo, so you know,
ruleoffiveradio.com.
So, well,
all right, Len, thanks for calling in, man. Keep it up, buddy.
You bet. We'll talk to you later, John. Hey, and I want to talk to you. I want to get together with you and speak a little more about what's going on and where I can upload this video and all that good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, we'll chat over a beer soon.
Certainly. See you, buddy.
All right. Have a good one. That was Len, ladies and gentlemen. He acted as one of our marshals. A brilliant thing. We don't do it really down here in Austin, but Catherine, I've learned so much from her just spending some time with her this past month on Operation Defuse. But every single event they have, they train marshals, and they have individuals there that are kind of keeping the peace and making sure no funny business is going on. We had marshals there with walkie-talkies, and they had video cameras in hand. There was four of them, and we really ended up getting a lot of good stuff on footage, and they helped with the march, helped with the rally. Whenever there's some heated, you know, stuff going on between some of our supporters and some of the Alex Jones drones, they were there right there on the spot to kind of keep the peace and stand in between. They even had to stand in between one of our leaders of our thing, because a lot of people got really heated, folks. We put a lot of time and energy into this thing, and it just got completely railroaded. It was still a great event, but it was rather unfortunate, rather unfortunate. So thank you, Catherine, for training them as marshals. We're going to do that now with every single major event that we have. We'll have people there as marshals. Maybe you can call in and link them in, or they can pass on the training that you got, or maybe we can do a major training with everybody.
I think we should do a major training.
There's got to be a handbook or something.
We have some of the training up on the revolutionmarch.com website. I believe it's still up there, but this is one of the things that we use for the Revolution March with 12,000 people. And
I thought you were a new activist, though. Wasn't that like a year or two ago?
Yeah, that was my first major project. It was July 12th of 2008.
Oh, so you're not really that new of an activist.
But that was of course, after I had fought my way through the delegate process and was a delegate to the RNC. But
so
anyway.
You do understand freedom.
I do understand freedom. Yes, I do. I understand the left-right paradigm. I get it. But the fact of the matter is, when you train your own marshals, you can then go to the law enforcement, like we did down here at the APD, and say, hey, we have the situation under control. We don't want you getting involved. We don't want no LRAD cannons. We don't want any tasers. We don't want your police state authority. We will self-contain if we need you. If we need you, we will let you know. And that's what we did at the Revolution March. We actually had to protect the police from the protesters because they were trying to enforce, there was some profanity on someone's hat and our permit said there'd be no profanity. And, you know, there's a whole crowd of protesters who were surrounding the law enforcement, trying to get them to back off this guy. And we actually had to have the marshals come in there and separate the crowd from the law enforcement. We're like, see? Told ya, don't get involved. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really great way to build a relationship with your local law enforcement. Say, hey, look, we have this under control. It's a good place to start a conversation. And it's also really, really, really important when you have a rally, especially if it's hot outside, if it's going to be an all-day event. Those people are there to help make sure trash is picked up, to make sure people know where the restroom is, to make sure that people have access to water, that people know where to go, where parking is, that they can, you know, be an active participant, and they kind of have someone there to help guide them along the way. But they're also there to stop detractors. And for the very brief training that your folks had down here in Austin, I was very impressed. They picked up on it very quickly, and they responded exactly how I asked them to.
Catherine's real involved with the Tea Party movement up in St. Louis, Missouri, and she learned a lot from those guys as well. And she told us that, you know, usually they train to watch out for ACORN or SEIU operatives, and came as a surprise that we had to watch out for somebody from our own movement.
Well, yeah, and that was one of the things I kept saying is, you know, I don't think that's a problem down here. I don't think that you guys are going to have anyone coming in here starting trouble, but I just have this weird feeling, and I'd really like, you know, for us to have this conversation and for me to teach you some things ahead of time. And I think a lot of the TAG folks were like, gosh, Catherine, this is a little weird,
a little paranoid.
It's like, I mean, really, we need out marshals for this little event? And I'm like, yeah, I think we do. Mm. And it worked out well.
It worked out great. And ran into the assistant police chief Carter the next day, and he was very appreciative. He said, you know, the rally went well. He noticed the division and asked about it. So the APD did take notice of a divide. So thanks again, Alex Jones. But he was very appreciative of the fact that we did have marshals and that we regulated ourselves. And while they did have the police all on the building tops and taking pictures of us from within the building, everything was very harmonious and peaceful. And we're coming up on a break. We're still with Dan Gonzalez. We're going to chat with him the entire next segment. This is the Rule of Law Radio Network, the Rise Up Radio Show. We love you. And we'll also be giving away a Lola calendar. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Rise Up Radio Show on the Rule of Law Radio Network. That's ruleoflawradio.com, broadcasting live and direct on 1640 AM in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 90.1 FM in the city of Austin, and also several other micro broadcasters across these United States. And ladies and gentlemen, 90.1 FM is still not 100% secure. There's a legal battle going on right now. So if you are listening on 90.1 FM and you appreciate having the message spread all throughout the great city of Austin, I encourage you to check out ruleoflawradio.com, and there are some instructions there on what you can do to help out the cause, to help with some of the legal costs. And also, there's a template there. You can send a letter to the FCC to let them know what a community service this radio broadcast has been, primarily because we put out the news that the other networks don't cover. There's a market for this, and it's a community service, folks. So check out ruleoflawradio.com for some information on how you can help out. You can also go by Brave New Bookstore, 1904 Guadalupe Street. They have some of the printed out letters there. All you got to do is sign them. And we're going to be chatting with Dan Gonzalez this entire segment, but you can call in and we'll get you on the next segment, 512-646-1984. 512-646-1984. But like I said, we're joined by our good friend Dan Gonzalez, who's become a regular on the program. He's the chairman of the Constitution Party in Florida. He's the vice president of the Continental Congress 2009, and he's an all-around just good old American patriot. Doesn't get much better than old Dan Gonzalez. So, Dan, what's on your mind, buddy?
Ooh, Catherine, did you hear what he said, old Dan Gonzalez?
Well, I mean comparatively.
Hey, listen. I have to tell you that when I'm around you guys, I feel like I'm your age. Seriously.
You act like it, too. You got some energy.
Well, I do think that you belong to the Liberty Kids, Dan, because the Liberty Kids is a group of active, moving, and grooving activists, and the age has no barrier when it comes to the Liberty Kids.
And
so.
You were on the side of the radicals for sure at Continental Congress, without a doubt. It was great, and it was good having you there.
Well, I definitely had to be on the side of the Founding Fathers. That's why I guess I'm a radical, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
Samuel Adams spoke my language right along with Patrick Henry.
Mm-hmm. And Schaefer Cox.
So, what's that?
I said, and Schaefer Cox, too.
And Schaefer Cox, good old Schaefer Cox, and so many other great American patriots we saw there. You know, you guys were, we had a special bond going at the Continental Congress. And when we all arrived there, you know, I knew about Catherine Bleich because Catherine is, actually, the first time I met Catherine, she came to Florida to speak to the our national committee meeting of the Constitution Party, which was in Orlando in December of 2009.
Eight.
And do you remember that, Catherine?
Yeah, it was 2008. That was my first political speech that I ever gave. I practiced
was
that
it really?
Speech.
You did?
Probably four times in front of the local Kansas City movement.
Now, John,
listen,
because when she gave that speech, she sounded like she had been giving it for a year or more, seriously. So
nice.
Catherine is a natural for liberty. I think once somebody put that torch of liberty in Catherine's hands, she took off with it, and she just completely mind-melded with it and took off with that torch of liberty and has been spreading it ever since. Of course, John, just like you have, I'm impressed with both of you at what you've done and what you are and what you continue to do. And I want to say something about government provocateurs, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Government
You're
provocateurs.
Making me blush, I have to say, though, before you...
Catherine Blush.
Pardon me?
Catherine Blush.
Oh, I'm sorry. Government provocateurs always speak your language. In fact, they speak it so well, they usually are, they'll usually climb up the ladder of the patriot movement, the truth movement, whatever you want to call it, very quickly. And then they seem to have like money to do things that the rest of the patriot movement doesn't have. It always seems that they're able to pull things off that no one else is able to pull off. And then, when the rubber really meets the road, when there's a major situation that draws a line in the sand, something strange begins to happen. There begins this dissension amongst the ranks. And usually the provocateurs are the ones instigating it and claiming that you're the ones doing it, the true patriots, because what they want to do, what their objective is to discredit the true patriot with the other patriots. See, and these provocateurs get along with everyone. They're very kind, and they do good work, and they do all these wonderful things. They help people out. They come off as these very friendly, philanthropic type of people who are doing good for everyone. But all of a sudden, there's this side that you see that you never saw before. Now, I'm not claiming that Alex Jones is that at all. I wouldn't say that, okay, because I don't know Alex Jones well enough. I'd have to get around him some more before I made my own personal decision. But I can tell you this, that we are very slow to believe that. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe that there might be somebody in our inner circle that could actually be a government provocateur. But I'm going to take you to the Brown family up in the Northeast that, is it Ed and Elaine Brown?
Strategic report written about them that came out a couple years ago. I think it was a 2007 MIAC strategic report. What was the name of their organization?
Constitution Rangers.
Yes, it's an entire report on the Constitution Rangers. That's Ed and Elaine Brown.
Right. Well, look what happened to them, right? They said the government came out and reported, well, we didn't have to like do a home invasion or anything because we had guys on the inside, right? They just walked over to them. They were right inside their home. They just went over and said, okay, you're under arrest. Here's our handcuffs, and you're under arrest, and we're taking you away. How did these people get on the inside? Well, they were government agents. How did they do that?
they did it by, what, bringing food, acting real nice, friendly, getting along with everyone. See, how in the world have you? How in the world can you stand for truth and get along with everyone? That just won't happen. That's not going to happen. You guys know that already. The minute you stand for truth and you speak truth, you stand for the Constitution, you start talking about the truth, there people are automatically going to get upset because most of them are afraid of the truth. Most Americans are afraid of the truth. That's why we don't have all the. That's why our we don't have instead of in D.C. having a million people, we didn't have 20 million people, because most of the people are sitting home saying to themselves, oh, gee, I don't want to talk about this. How often have we heard, don't talk about politics, it upsets me. I don't want to discuss at the dinner table. Don't talk about this, you know. It's because of the fear factor, that's been ingrained into their mind by the government education system. Okay, don't upset my apple cart, please. I want my nice little three-bedroom, two-garage home with a pool in the back, and I can go golfing on the weekend or watch the Super Bowl, and I can drink beer, and I can have a good time. It's all about creature comforts. Don't bother me with what's wrong with my country, because I can't do anything about it anyway, remember? Yeah. Remember, ever since I've been a little kid, they've said, you can't fight City Hall.
So yeah.
Why should I even try? I'll just drink another beer or party down. It's like
and
the
pay
people
my taxes.
Who down here in Florida. Pardon me?
And pay my taxes.
There you go. Well, they
like
do that because of fear,
citizen.
Too, right, Catherine? They pay the taxes because they're afraid. Because if they don't pay the taxes, the controllers put on the television and the newspapers about how someone who didn't pay their taxes went to jail and lost everything. So now people are going, oh my gosh, see, that could be me. Oh dear, you know, I can't live like that. I might not be able to sleep tonight. Wow. But see what they don't realize, I was speaking to my wife the other day, and I said to my wife, you know, I had my boys at my computer, and we were watching the story. By the way, I'm trying to get Jeff Williams to reproduce this vocal story that's been told about the Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, or is it, And I said, look, I had my boys listen to it. And so I started thinking about that. Now, these guys, you know, the British were bombing Fort Henry, right? They were just bombing the daylights out of it. And that flag, they said, the minute the flag goes down, we'll stop bombing. Well, the Patriots in America wouldn't let that flag go down. And, in fact, they threw their bodies up. They stood there and hold that flagpole, and they knew that the British were training all their guns right on that flag to blow that flag out. And every time someone got blasted into oblivion, another patriot picked up the flagpole and stood up and held that flag up. They gave their life for freedom. Now, what would cause a person to give their life for freedom in that manner? So it seems so flippantly. I mean, they know they're going to get killed. But just to hold that flag up, why would they do that? And you know what I came to the conclusion of? That we in America, us, all of us, we've never tasted liberty like our founding fathers did. We've never had complete liberty like they did. And I have to tell you this, and it chokes me up, to think about walking around, about conducting our daily lives with no oppressive taxation, no police state, no cameras on our freeways, no government intrusion into every aspect of our life, no United Nations, no threat from beyond, that in our country we had a right to go into business and to create new things and be industrious and make money and support our families and so on and so forth. We had sound money, gold and silver coin, and they had true freedom. Our founding fathers tasted true freedom. They threw off tyranny. And then for the
that sounds
first
like
time,
a fairy tale, Dan. I mean, that sounds like a fairy tale. I haven't had that my whole life. Right now, my purpose is trying to fight for freedom. I can't imagine what it would be like to be able to use my own creativity and my own hands and my mind to create, to self-sustain, you know, to have a life where I am free and I am able to use the skills and talents and tools that I was born with, that my beautiful mother provided me with. But
absolutely.
I mean, that just sounds like a fairy tale to me. And I'm just listening to you talk about that. And I'm just sitting here trying to imagine, you know, what would I be doing with my life if I wasn't fighting for freedom?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't know, because I wasn't brought up in a world where that was ever an opportunity.
That's right. That's right. How sad.
Yep. Well, that's why we do what we do, ladies and gentlemen, because we do have that hope and we do have faith that one day we will be able to bring about that free society that Dan was speaking of. It may not be in our lifetimes, ladies and gentlemen, but you do everything that you can in order to work towards that end, in order to work towards that goal. And if we all make the realization and if we all give a little bit of sacrifice and give some of our time, ladies and gentlemen, we will be able to reach that point once again. It's inevitable, in my opinion, and that's why we do what we do. That's why we're broadcasting right now. That's why we wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to bring you this information. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls also.